I think I may have been wrong about amygdalin slash laetrile. When I originally researched it and published my article about it, I was perhaps biased because of the fact that the two propagandistic doctors who defended cigarettes once upon a time were attacking laetrile. I think that may have biased my approach to it. The current science that's been done in the past decade or so is really not very complimentary. So please do listen till the end of this episode to get my updated conclusion based upon current evidence. Hey, this is Jonathan with Limitless Mindset, and this podcast is about a little bit of a fringe vitamin. That's right, vitamin B17. You may not have heard of this one before, and I doubt that you'll forget about it. It's also known as amygdalin or laetrile, and it's a controversial compound that occurs naturally in nature in the bitter seeds of apricots, apples, and peaches. And vitamin B17 is well worth the attention of biohackers with a little higher risk tolerance and those who have cancer. So if you're a person that's like, hey, I would never do anything that has, you know, a modicum of risk involved with it as far as my supplementation and nootropic regimen goes. If you're one of those people that's like, oh, you know what, I'm going to pass on, say, nicotine or, I don't know, maybe Adderall or different things like that, or say kratom, because the risk profile is just a little bit too high, you probably want to group vitamin B17 with those. However, for everyone else, for myself, it has some very attractive attributes. You've probably never heard of vitamin B17. If you're some shade of conspiracy theorist who thinks that the FDA is at least a little evil, you'll probably want to try vitamin B17. If you think that the FDA is a perfectly benign government regulating agency acting only for the good of the public, you'll probably want to pass on vitamin B17. If you, like me, are prone to sporadic episodes of unrequited hedonism, you'll want to consider adding this to your arsenal of lifestyle biohacks. Speaking of which, I've got a very personal anecdote. A couple of years ago, when I was living in South America, I faced quite a dilemma in regards to birth control. I was dating this lovely 21-year-old Colombian university student. One night we had a date scheduled. She told me she was feeling sick, so I hopped in a little yellow taxi that drove recklessly through the streets of Medellin to bring her chocolate. I was a good boyfriend. In a moment that brought me back to high school, we were cuddling on her bed, pretending to watch a movie while trysting and listening warily for her madre's footsteps coming down the hallway to make sure she was being a good Catholic girl. She nonchalantly mentioned to me there in the darkness that she was feeling sick because she had just started taking the pill. Now, this Colombiana will forever remain young and nubile in my imagination. She was eager to please and would purr like a cat in bed. It was truly glorious making love to her. The prospect of her most intimate embrace without protection was truly tantalizing. But as a biohacker, I knew that the birth control pill was bad news for women's health. So I found myself in quite a predicament. But I really did care for her, and she was a pretty sharp girl who at least pretended to share my passion for all things healthy. So I resolved to talk to her about my reservations, about the pill, and my willingness to keep using condoms. Ultimately, I failed to provide her the emotional roller coaster that the intoxicating women of that country so crave. We stopped seeing each other, and the dilemma resolved itself. However, if I had known about herbal birth control and vitamin B17, I would have had a viable contraceptive option that satisfied both my bioethics and my most primal desires. A dubious contraceptive method. Vitamin B17 and apricot seeds in particular likely prevent pregnancy and can even be used for an herbal abortion. Yes, that's a thing. From the book, it's one of my favorites. I've talked about it before, The Tao of Health, Sex, and Longevity. For thousands of years, the young women of Polynesia have enjoyed complete and uninhibited sexual freedom prior to marriage with no worries about unwanted pregnancy. Their secret is to eat a few handfuls of papaya seeds every day. The active ingredient responsible for their freedom from pregnancy is vitamin B17, more popularly known as Laetril, the controversial drug banned in the United States due to unproven claims that it can prevent and help cure cancer. From the queerly named book, Herbal Abortion, The Fruit of the Tree of Knowledge. If you made love with a man during your fertile time, for example, days 10 to 16 in a 28-day cycle, and you do not wish to be pregnant, here is what you do. After unprotected intercourse on a potentially fertile day, begin eating 5 to 10 apricot kernels 3 times a day. Continue this until your period comes. This prevents implantation. The same effect can be achieved with high levels of vitamin C in this way. Interesting. Use more than 10 grams per day. So you're like, whoa, wait a minute, Jonathan. Is this scientifically proven? Not really. However, there's a significant quantity of positive anecdotal evidence and a stark lack of nocebo reports, which you would especially expect for a birth control measure. If you wear, let's say, brand X condom, but yet somehow end up impregnating Jill, who you met at the ladies' night on Wednesday at Skybar, well, and you have an unintentional pregnancy followed by a disastrous 18-year relationship with a vengeful baby's mama, well, you're going to be warning everyone you can for the rest of your existence against buying those damn leaky Brandex condoms, right? Also, consider that since time immemorial, there's been a significant economic incentive for those who work in the world's oldest profession to prevent pregnancy. People have been having sex in exchange for money, well, probably ever since we invented money. So these herbal medicine traditions arise as a result of pragmatism, not mysticism. Anything that didn't actually work surely would have been not been passed down from age to age, from madam to courtesan to pimp to streetwalker. You get the idea. I foresee myself using herbal birth control in the future when I'm in a relationship where pregnancy is undesirable, yet not unacceptable. If I were married or in a serious long-term relationship, I would rather have her using a herbal birth control strategy than the pill, which is going to fundamentally alter her hormones, psychology, and libido. Depending upon which sexpert you listen to, the pull-out method is actually just a little less effective than using condoms. That's right. If a woman uses the birth control pill imperfectly, namely forgetting to take it at the same time every day, its effectiveness in preventing a little bundle of joy decreases detrimentally. And yes, if you're like, hey, Jonathan, do you have reference and science backing up all the stuff that you're saying? You're going to want to check out the article because that's where I've got all the links and citations for all this. How many stories have you heard of people that had an unexpected pregnancy even while using mainstream birth control methods? Maybe it's even happened to you. So I wouldn't depend upon herbal birth control alone if I was sleeping with someone who I really didn't want to have a child with. The amalgamation of the limited science done and the preponderance of anecdotal accounts online didn't give me the confidence to bet. It doesn't give me the confidence to bet at least $250,000 in 18 years of my life on herbal birth control working. Conversely, though, given the unreliability of conventional birth control methods, if I were sleeping regularly with someone who I really didn't want to make babies with, I would hedge my bets and supplement the normal contraceptives with herbal birth control, specifically the Californian apricot seeds that I mentioned, Queen Anne's lace seeds, neem oil, smart weed leaves, no, they won't make you smart, and wild yam. If I had my partner use all of them properly, the cumulative contraceptive effectiveness would be pretty close to 100%, especially if I'm using the much maligned pull-out method and Taoist semen retention methods, which I've discussed in depth elsewhere. The chances of inadvertently making a little Roseland are virtually nil, right? And I actually did another podcast totally on this subject. So if your ears are really, if your ears or some other part of your body that contains erectile tissue are perking up at the moment, you're going to want to check out that podcast. I will link to it. Moving on. A less dubious cancer cure. That's right. And there's some documentaries that I link to that you're going to want to check this out if you or someone you care about has or is struggling with cancer. So the FDA banned it because it cures cancer. Upon listening to that previous sentence, and I'll say it again, the FDA banned it because it cures cancer, you may be thinking, of course. They wouldn't want us curing cancer. That would put them out of business, right? And some days I totally share your cynicism, but the reality is probably a whole lot more complex and nuanced. And I haven't researched it thoroughly enough to say conclusively whether or not it actually cures cancer. I don't really think anyone has, or else they'd be tremendously wealthy or perhaps assassinated, right? If a close friend or family member of mine was facing the dire specter of cancer, I wouldn't get their hopes up too high, repeating the hyperbole surrounding vitamin B17. However, given the preponderance of scientific and anecdotal evidence, I'll recommend using it to promote longevity and prevent cancer. Let's get into the history of it. About 100 years ago, it was isolated from bitter almonds and has since been embroiled in controversy because one of its constituent parts is cyanide. However, in moderation, the cyanide is counteracted by another chemical in the seed. Actually, you consume cyanide all the time if you eat raw almonds or spinach, for example, and you're still alive and well and kicking and listening to this podcast. Apparently, two of the doctors that published the 1952 paper, which initially demonized it, were also amongst the many doctors who publicly endorsed smoking cigarettes as healthy, going as far as saying a pack a day keeps the lung cancer away. So that really, draws into question the credibility of the doctors who were like, you know, who are like, hey, you know, this stuff that all these people are saying cures cancer, that's bad. You don't want to take that. And again, it was 1952. It was a long time ago. I have a bit of an inclination to disregard studies that are, 20, 30 years old. After they're past that date, that kind of seems like the expiration of relevance to me. The FDA banned Laetril, the semi-synthetic version of amygdalin, in 1977. And there was a 1982 paper that called it the slickest, most sophisticated, and certainly the most remunerative cancer quack promotion in medical history. So they were not a fan of it. The science, however, far from a universal research moratorium on it, there's been over 100 papers, human studies, and meta-analyses done in the past 10 years alone. That's actually pretty good. You guys know I do a lot of these comparative meta-analyses of different nootropics and different substances, and that's a pretty useful chunk of research that's been done. A 2016 paper out of Goethe University in Germany concluded, no convincing evidence showing that amygdalin induces rapid distinct tumor regression in cancer patients, particularly in those with late-stage disease, is apparent. However, there is also no evidence that purified amygdalin administered in therapeutic dosage causes toxicity. That's good for all those people out there that are worried, that are like, cyanide, oh my gosh, I won't want to consume cyanide. Going on, it says, multiple aspects of amygdalin administration have not yet been adequately explored, making further investigation necessary to evaluate its actual therapeutic potential. A recent in vitro study of prostate cancer cells was more optimistic. Quote, amygdalin exhibits significant anti-tumor activity in both castration-sensitive and castration-resistant PCA lines and merits further evaluation for therapeutic purposes. If there's a chance this could save your life or the life of someone you care about, I'll encourage you to peruse the abstracts of the recent studies done. The general sentiment of the researchers who have devoted themselves to profoundly understanding this bitter compound is quite positive. Overall positivity. On cyanide poisoning, I found two recent reports on PubMed of severe cyanide poisoning, but both are pretty extreme cases that could be avoided by a responsible biohacker using conservative doses. One resulted from some idiot parents, who gave too many apricot kernels to their four-year-old child. Four-year-old, again, idiot parents. Quote, on detailed questioning of the parents, the use of CAM, including intravenous and oral vitamin B17, an oral apricot kernel were reported. The second report advises that there's a serious conflict with vitamin C. Amygdalin and Laetril, a synthetic form of amygdalin, are commonly used as complementary or alternative medicine for the treatment of cancer. Vitamin C is known to increase the in vitro conversion of amygdalin to cyanide and reduce body stores of cysteine, which is used to detoxify the cyanide. Amygdalin has been used for decades by patients with cancer who are seeking alternative therapies, and severe reactions have not been reported with this dose. An interaction with vitamin C is a plausible explanation for this life-threatening response. And interestingly, I'm thinking now that I'm reading this, there was the herbal abortion book, which was suggesting like really high doses of vitamin C as a contraceptive solution. But it was saying it was not recommending to do the two together. It was saying vitamin C or apricot seeds, and apricot seeds looking like a better option. I'm really not going to spend a whole lot of time researching whether vitamin C is a contraceptive. This seems a little bit of a silly notion to me. About the war on cancer, looking at the stark statistics, Western medicine is doing a remarkably bad job finding a cure for cancer. A glaring example of the failure of the Western approach to health and disease is the so-called war on cancer in America, where this deadly disease flourishes more than anywhere else on Earth. Over the past 35 years, the National Cancer Institute has spent more than $20 billion researching a cure for cancer while suppressing all homeopathic and preventative approaches to the disease. Since 1962, the number of cancer deaths per 100,000 people in America has risen from 170 to 185. In 1986, close to 1 million new cases of cancer were reported. So, hey, cancer researcher guys and cancer doctors, really not doing a great job here, guys. It would seem to be less of a race for the cure and more of a perverse game of musical chairs that costs billions of dollars and millions of lives. The risk that vitamin B17 presents looks a whole lot better in the shadow cast by the mountain of bodies after the 45-year war on cancer. And I've got some documentaries that I watched that were interesting and eye-opening, and some of them set off my cognitive dissonance bullshit detector a little bit. But again, if you or someone that matters to you is dealing with cancer, which is a statistical likelihood, just considering how many people get it nowadays, it's worthwhile for you to take a look at this subject, which so literally affects our mortality. Okay, so let's talk about some of the anecdotal evidence. There's a book, Laetril Case Histories, documenting work done at the Richardson Cancer Clinic from its blurb. Here are 62 case histories proving beyond any doubt that Laetril, that's vitamin B17, works in the control of cancer. These are not anecdotal stories or cases of people who never had cancer in the first place. Each history is authenticated by a firm diagnosis and a meticulous medical documentation. And YouTube has, I check this out also, I do a lot of Googling, researching these meta-analyses, guys. Research has a handful of not very professional video blogs of cancer survivors who found it helpful. You'll find a lot more testimonials and frank discussion at beatcancerwithb17.blogspot.com. Not a lot of people calling it a miracle cure for cancer, but it does seem to help, and I've yet to come across any real horror stories about cyanide poisoning. As usual, I did quite a bit of research, and I think I found a really great source of this, and that would be Apricot Power. And this is a brand of apricot seeds, and they have received nearly 600 custom reviews on trustpilot.com. And believe it or not, I actually went through and reviewed all of them, especially the 1- and 2-star reviews. And there's a handful of people complaining about taste, bitterness, and upset stomachs, but literally no one having crazy adverse reactions that required hospitalization or the poison control center. So it even though, again, I'm being as transparent as possible, it is a cyanide source, but I really don't think you have to worry about cyanide poisoning with this. So let's talk a little bit more about sources of this. So you can't buy Laetrile itself, thanks to the FDA ban, but you can eat foods that are high in amygdalin. So again, number one would be Californian apricot seeds. That's 8%. Peach seeds are 6%. Plum seeds are 2%. Bitter apricots are 5%. And then apple seeds. The general rule of thumb is that you shouldn't eat more seeds than you would if you were eating the whole food. You wouldn't eat more than 4 to 6 apricots in a sitting, so don't eat more than 4 to 6 apricot seeds. Downloadable amygdalin is a thing. Yeah. You may be interested in taking it as an infoceutical, a non-pharmacological, side effect-free version of the supplement or medicine that takes advantage of the phenomena of water memory. So the amygdalin infoceutical gets imprinted on water that you drink via quantum co-location and electromagnetism. Using this device, infoceuticals typically have 1/3 or about half the effect of the actual medicine being imprinted. And if you're skeptical of this, well, that's understandable. It's a game-changing application of little-known scientific phenomena. But I'd urge you to evaluate the scientific evidence that's presented in my Biohacker Review, scientific evidence that downloadable medicine is no longer science fiction. And for amygdalin Laetrile, I think that's a particularly good potential use of infoceuticals because of the concern with cyanide poisoning. Next, this is what I'm going to call a censored vitamin. YouTube does not want you to know about it. Originally, this podcast I had published on YouTube, and it actually did quite well. How many views did it get? It got quite a few views there. And then of the dozens of different supplements and anti-aging agents and medicines that I had researched and done deep dive content there, amygdalin Laetrile that's the one that big tech censored. And they applied a medical misinformation strike to my channel for uploading that podcast. And overall, as you can hear, this podcast was pretty conservative and skeptical in its estimation of amygdalin Laetrile. I didn't call it a miracle cancer cure, and I discuss its promise as a healthy, natural contraceptive and as potentially a low-risk cancer treatment. And YouTube's censorship of the science and evidence is an example of how evil causes cancer. That's right, evil causes cancer. And I make an airtight empirical case for this premise in the interview that I did with researcher author Mark Sloan. And that is going to be linked up in the article version of this. That article, this is one where before trying it in any one of the forms that it's available, you should really read the article. I've got a few updates there in the article that you should be aware of before you press any buy now buttons. And that brings me to my conclusion. I've grown a lot more iffy on amygdalin laetrile. It is certainly a higher risk, not sure if it deserves to be called a vitamin, but I shared it here because there's, like I said, two potential upsides that are notable. Preventing, treating, maybe even curing cancer. Looking at some of those old documentaries and old case studies, it sounds like it did help some people get into and stay in remission. However, on the alternative cancer treatment front, that's something that I have researched quite a bit since I originally put this podcast out, I think about 10 years ago. And I think there's a lot better options now on the natural cancer treatment options area. I would look at things like C60 and chaga mushroom and even the AquaCure device behind me that just feeds the body a lot more hydrogen, the essential macronutrient. At this point, if me or a loved one had cancer, amygdalin laetrile would actually probably be pretty far from the first things that I gave to them. And then what also stands out is that it sounds like it's a natural way to have fairly safe sex without the significant downsides of hormonal birth control. And something that, in my mind, is a positive in the B17 ledger is that when my now wife, then girlfriend, started dating after we had crossed that unsafe sex Rubicon, the inevitable uncondoming is what I called it in my book. After we had crossed that line in our relationship, I said, okay, we need to do some kind of birth control strategy, but I don't want you on the pill. Because I know just by that time, I knew just how awful the pill was for women. And so I had her use a apricot seed extract. Yeah, she took that. She didn't use it perfectly consistently, and she didn't get pregnant when we didn't want to get pregnant. Isn't that a funny thing? Isn't that a funny thing when men say, we got pregnant? But truth is, when your woman gets pregnant, it has such an impact on your life that it kind of does feel like we are pregnant. So N of one anecdotal case, maybe it helped us in the way that we wanted it to. But the looking at more recent research, the evidence on cancer is not great compared with other tools in the tool chest that we as biohackers have. It's not great on cancer, and there has been more recent documentation of the cyanide poisoning risk. So if you want to, you know, have some apricot seeds from time to time, just have a few of them so that you're not taking any risk with cyanide poisoning. I hope to hear from some of you out there who may have tried this one. I'd be interested in more anecdotal evidence. In the past, when I had it on YouTube, it got quite a few views. I don't think I ever had any comments of people that reported disastrous side effects. So I think the cyanide poisoning might actually be pretty rare. But yeah, drop me a comment or a private line if you used this one and had negative or positive effects. Would love to hear more about those and report on those. I'm Jonathan with Limitless, looking forward to a continued conversation with you.
In the labs of science, truth's hard to find. Replicating studies falling far behind. Research riddled with errors, funds misused. The scientific method often abused. From cell lines to mice, results don't align. In this realm of rigor, the sun don't always shine. Scientists, and especially the institutions of science, are often more like politicians and the institutions of politics. Chasing grants and glory, sometimes we lose the path to real knowledge we must carefully choose. Pressure's high, publish or perish, did they say? Corners are cut in the scientific fray. Reagents and methods, so many gone wrong. In this game of data, it's a complicated song. Reproducibility's low, faith starts to wane. In this quest for truth, we endure the strain. Scientists, and especially the institutions of science, are often more like politicians and the institutions of politics. Chasing grants and glory, sometimes we lose the path to real knowledge we must carefully choose. Hope isn't lost, we can find our way. With transparency and rigor, truth will stay. Collaboration and honesty, keys to unlock a future where science stands like a rock. Ethics and integrity guiding the light. In this revolution, we make things right. Scientists, and especially the institutions of science, are often more like politicians and the institutions of politics. Chasing grants and glory, sometimes we lose the path to real knowledge we must carefully choose. Institutions of science, ooh, are often more like politicians and the institutions of politics. Chasing grants and glory, sometimes we lose the path to real knowledge we must carefully choose. LimitlessMindset.com.